Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Joining us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline, the Hall of Famer, Burt Beholm Blylevin. Remember, that was an ESPN thing, right? That was Chris Berman?
Yes, that was Chris Berman, Mike. How you doing?
Good, man. I miss you, though.
Well, thank you. I miss you, too.
Yeah, I do. I miss you up here, and I miss you sitting in the dugout with you and all that stuff. But we got some other things we got to talk about right now, Burt. What the heck? Let me ask you this. You pitched for a long time. You've coached. You've done it all. What is the, you know, Wes Johnson's leaving tomorrow. Today was his last game. What is expected from a pitching coach? And how important is he to the team, or does it vary a great deal from team to team based on how they delve up the responsibility?
Well, you know what? I hate to see Wes go. It was a decision I know that was tough to make, I believe, for him. But going to LSU, where he's back at the college level, where I think he feels very comfortable. I understand that the family issue was also there. He put God and his God first, his family second, and baseball third. And I think, with the article that I read, I did not talk to Wes. I will in time. I have his number. I'll congratulate him because it's something that I think was close to his heart that he wanted to get back into the college level. I think he had to look at the financial part, too, and also family. So. He did a great job while he was in a Twins uniform. I think we have to think of that, and hopefully the new pitching coach, whoever that might be, does as well as Wes Johnson did.
Well, what does a pitching coach do on a daily basis? Describe how it works.
You can't describe what a pitching coach can do to make you better. You have to be positive. Everything, because baseball basically, Mike, can be a negative game.
Yeah.
Like say what Chris Archer went through today. Walking seven in four innings or eight, whatever it was, but it was just a bad outing. Well, you need a pitching coach to say, hey, you know what? Let's go back to square one. My first pitching coach was Marv Grissom. I think I was able to pitch for 22 years because I listened to him. And he changed a couple things on my delivery when I was 19 years old, throwing across my body. He opened me up. He brought a folding chair down and said, you've got to hit to the left of this folding chair. Because I was throwing the baseball like a javelin thrower. I was landing on my heel. And I was 19. I had a strong arm. But if I did not correct my delivery, I probably would not have been able to pitch as long as I did. And I did ask him when he put that folding chair where my foot was landing. I said, well, Marv, what happened, Mr. Grissom? I said, what happens if I land on that chair? He said, well, then you'll break your damn neck, won't you? So he
figure it out, son, huh?
That's old school. He opened me up to where my delivery, my chest and my right arm was going toward the catcher's glove rather than down the third baseline. So just little things like that. you know, through 22 years, I had a lot of different pitching coaches, and they were all positive. I can think of my last one. I had Marcel Latchman with the Angels. He was such a good pitching coach. And it's that's guys, you know, there's now there's 13, but back then there were maybe 9-10 guys on a staff. And the pitching coach needs to know the personality of every different pitcher he has. And with guys going up and down, the communication you have to have with them, if they get sent down, what do we think you need to work on to stay up here on a regular basis? I myself, I was very fortunate to have not only a great pitching coach, I had guys like Jim Perry, Jim Cott, Louis Tiant, Dave Boswell, all guys that kind of mentored me when I first came up. So it's not only the pitching coach that can help you. It's Sonny Gray's now that is a veteran on the ball club. The Bundys that can help, you know, these young kids get through these tough times you're going to have. You're going to have bad outings. It's how you come back from that.
So what would concern you the most about changing pitching coaches right now?
I don't think there's going to be a concern. I think the players are – you're major league players. You should know what you have to do. You know you need to work out. You need to run. You need to control, you know, the fastball. You need to attack the strike zone. You need to be aggressive on the mound. I don't think you need a pitching coach to tell you that. It's just sometimes now with the videos and all that stuff, you can go in a back room without a pitching coach and look at yourself, your delivery, and say, you know, maybe I should try to do this. You have to communicate with the other pitchers, too, on your ball club. Because sometimes, like Frank Viola, for example, he was my best friend, you know, when I was with the Twins the second time around, as Cotton, Perry, and Tiant and Boswell were, Ron Paranowski, Stan Williams. You pick their brains, and you see, well, how were they so successful, and what can I implement that into my, say, pitching routine?
Okay, so it looks like it's not the starters, it's the relievers right now for the Twins. Emilio Pagan struggles. Today they had a bad error in the eighth inning that tied it up, and then the walk-off home run. From what you see, do you go out and get a couple of relievers via trade? What do you do here to shore that up?
Well, you know what, Mike, the big thing, I'm not a firm believer in 100 pitch count. You know, starters need to go deeper in the ballgame.
Extend them to start with and you get a better bullpen, right?
Well, amen. You can't, guys are just getting overused out there. Duffy had a great outing today. I'm sure they thought, let's try one more, but then I don't know how many pitches he threw in the 2 or 3 days prior to his great outing today. So, you know, it's managing the bullpen is probably the hardest thing, I think, for any pitching coach. Your starters, hey, if they can go 6 or 7, like you just mentioned, the bullpen's going to be a lot better.
Do you are there many starters that you can acquire that are good relievers or not? Are most starters have a tough time converting to being a reliever?
I think most of the guys in the minor leagues, to get to the big leagues, you probably have to be a starter. Mm-hmm. I know in my era, you have to be a starter. You know, when I came up, we had an 8 or 9 man pitching staff, 4 starters, you know, 2 guys that were long men out of the bullpen waiting for one of the starters to break down.
Yep.
And then you maybe had, you know, Stan Williams and Ron Paranowski as the setup and closers. But it's a little different today. You know, you're trying to keep everybody healthy out there. That's the main thing, you know, and not overuse them. But because starters only now today go 4 or 5 innings, you expect 4 or 5 innings out of, you know, those other 7 to 9 players out there. And that's tough night after night.
Bert Blyleven, our guest, do you believe that a closer is the easiest way to run your relief staff, a defined closer as opposed to a closer by committee? I mean, you know, your last time here, you had Terminator and Jeff Reardon, and you know, you saw Aguilera, you felt like it was lights out, and Nathan. Do you believe that's important or not?
Oh, very important. You know, I think everybody in that bullpen needs to know what role they have. And I think with the way that the starters are going less innings, everybody is put into different roles that they may not feel comfortable with. You know, so do they have a closer right now, the Twins? I don't know if they do or not. He's kind of closer by committee, and also the scoreboard dictates who comes in.
Yeah, and they could be fine, but they got a closer named Taylor Rogers. That's doing okay in San Diego, I guess, if they stayed with him. But understanding there's a lot of reasons why they traded him, et cetera. Two other topics I want to go over as long as we got you on the line. What will it be like when Jim Cott and Tony Oliva step up to give their speech at the Hall of Fame? What is that like for a baseball player?
I'm so excited for them. You know, it took me 14 years to get into the Hall of Fame, and my numbers didn't change. You know, taking these guys a lot longer. Tony Oliva, I think one of the most feared hitters in the American League throughout his tenure. Sad that his, you know, knee gave out and he had so many different surgeries. But I think you ask anybody at the Hall of Fame with the game on the line, you know, who would you not want to face? And I guarantee you, of the five guys they might name, Tony Oliva's name would be in there.
Yep.
For Jim Cott, well overdue, 283 wins, all the gold gloves, the, you know, long tenure he had. He finally getting into the Hall of Fame as a player. He probably should have been in a long time ago as a broadcaster.
Sure.
He took not only his playing career into the booth, he did such a great job, and he still does.
Yeah, for sure. And when you step up there and you realize, you know, behind you, there's the commissioner and the greats of the great, is it nerve-wracking? How did you feel?
I felt comfortable because my mother was there. My father had passed.
Yep.
I got my wife, Gail, and my mother some roses, and they were sitting in that front row, some flowers. And I basically spoke to them, as I'm sure Tony will speak to his family members and also Jim Cott.
What's it like when you look around and see the best in the world around you and know that you're on that team?
Well, first of all, do I really belong here? You know,
and is that what you think?
You know, of course. Yeah. You know, you're talking about some of the greats of the game. I know when I first came up, I met the team back in 1970. I met them in Boston at Fenway Park. And I remember my first day in a big league uniform walking out and looking at that Fenway Park and thinking, Babe Ruth played here. Dick Williams played here. The greats of the game played here. You know, Mantle hit in this stadium. And you just, you know, you were just overwhelmed by, you know, the excitement of not only being in the big leagues, but such a great ballpark in Fenway Park. And it's still the same as it was back in 1970 when I came up.
You covered some ground last week when you were in town, including playing some memorable golf. I ran this on the news last week, and generally speaking, I try to verify everything, and I gave you a very liberal benefit of the doubt, a picture that was sent to me from Eric Curry, and it was a picture of you circling yourself with a hole-in-one, and I said on the news, I would like to see some video or at least one more witness, but I'll go with this. What happened? You honestly got a hole-in-one?
There was a doctor friend there, too.
Okay.
So we had two witnesses there. And this is my second lifetime hole-in-one. I'm glad I did it in front of Eric Curry because I was one up on him. And we play a little game. No, not for money. We just play a little
game. No, just for fun. Yep.
Yeah, just who wins certain holes. And I was up a couple. Then he birdied a hole. And then we came to that par three on number seven. And it went right at the darn pin. It was over a trap. I didn't see it go in, but we thought, and Eric ran over there, and he was more upset than excited for me because now I was up by two. So and I ended up beating him by five. I just, if Eric's listening, you're easy, Eric, always.
Yep.
But no, it was my second career hole-in-one. It took me 15 years. To get my second.
Now, did he see it go in? Did you see it? Or did he just think, boy, that might have because I don't see it?
Well, we all three thought it's right at the pin.
Yeah.
But you don't know, you know. So once we got the cart up there and Eric actually ran out before I did, and I brought my putter because I thought, you know, it probably, you know, maybe it went past the hole. But
yeah.
The darn thing was right in the cup. So
just like you planned it, yeah.
You got to be lucky. Yeah. Gotta be lucky.
Now, you also played a round of golf with Tommy Kramer and Governor Ventura. What on earth was that like?
Well, the hole-in-one was at
Olympic Hills, right?
Come on. Olympic Hills, yes. Beautiful golf course. And then the next day I got to play TPC, which is just as beautiful, along with Tommy Kramer and Jesse, the body, the Governor Ventura. I'd met him in the past, and I'd met Tommy about a year ago, and two great gentlemen, and it was an honor to play with him and a guy named Buddy Becker.
I know Buddy.
He had a son. Yeah, he had a son, Davis, out there, and we just had a great time. It took us about 6 hours to play because every hole, Jesse Ventura held court.
What kind of stuff was he giving the state of the state? Was it politics? Was it golf? Was it what?
It was everything. Everything in life. Jesse's such a good man, and I've always admired him, and as I have Tommy Kramer, and we just had a great time. Just beautiful, beautiful day. The weather was warm. It was beautiful.
And Tommy basically sat in agreement with Jesse, or does he pontificate as well?
I'm sorry, what was that?
I said, does Tommy ever hold court, or is he just willing to listen to Jesse?
I think we all listened to Jesse, yes. Jesse was in charge.
Well, you guys didn't have any laughs then, did you?
Oh, we laughed every hole. It wasn't really golf. It was just getting to, you know, just laugh and reminisce. And I remember Jesse way back when I was there in Minnesota, we were doing a Make-A-Wish. It was a fundraiser for Make-A-Wish, and I was sitting at a table, and just so happened in the center of the table there was a little jar that had a couple goldfish in it, and I bet everybody $100 on my at my table that if I swallow a goldfish, will everybody donate $100 to Make-A-Wish Foundation?
Sure.
So everybody agreed. There might have been six or seven people there, and Jesse was at the table behind me, and he heard it, and of course he said, "Hey, you, Bert." He said, "If you eat two goldfish, I'll throw out a 500. Of course, I swallowed two goldfish. So
did you really?
We raised some good money for Make-A-Wish,
and he paid up, right?
Yes, he did. Yes, he would always pay up.
How'd the goldfish end up doing?
I think they're still in there.
I think so too.
Swimming around. Yeah, so,
they're doing something, man. No, hey, Bert, always appreciate it, buddy. Good to visit with you. I miss you.
Mike, they're in there with the night crawlers, right? Too, so.
I bet they are, man. We'll put a hook down there, see what we can do. Next time I see your proctologist. No. All right, buddy. Good to talk to you.
Thank you, Mike. Best to the Twins and everybody up there in Minnesota and the Bison area.
You got it. Bert Blylevin, the one and only, the Hall of Famer on WCCO.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.